Well, good evening, everyone. Hope you're all well. It's absolutely throwing it down. It's supposed to be June, people. It's supposed to be June. Yeah, on tonight's show, I've got a guy called Jack Nolan, fellow dyslexic, a dyslexian, as we call him. Interesting conversation. Really enjoy being on the show with Jack. And as always, you're listening to... Oh, yeah. She's going to sing it again. Yeah, don't forget to check out my Friday show, which is a country show. It's going to be recorded this week because I'm going to be in Ealing Town Hall doing Pounce interviews for an expo there, which is on Friday and Saturday, 11 till 7. So get to Ealing Town Hall if you want to say hello. Anyway, let's get on with the show. Right, good evening, people. So we're always looking for interesting guests and... got a cracker here, a referral from someone else I know, from my mate Brad Burton. He's been on the show, check that one out. I've got Jack Nolan on, so we've just had a pre-chat and I've had to start recording because it's quite an interesting conversation. Good evening, Jack.
You all right there, Kirk, mate?
Yeah, I'm sound, buddy. So do you want to give people, introduce yourself, tell them what you're actually doing currently?
Yeah, so my name's Jack Nolan and basically my story is I had a bit of a mental health breakdown last year. Found out that I was dyslexic, and as a kid I was unable to read and write, so I was determined to get my literature skills, you know, capable of being able to write and publish a book, so that's what I'm doing this year. So this year I'm bringing a book out early August. So On the Job really is about a kid who gets bullied at school, who gets influenced in the wrong kind of crowds, the wrong gangs and that, and then suffers the consequences of what it's like to try and get out of a gang.
Is that not around dyslexia then? It's totally
sort of bouncing off the wall a little bit because one of the characters is suffering with depression. So the character himself is not dyslexic, but he is, you know, going through depression and anxiety, you know, stuff that I've felt and experienced myself, sort of just tried to demonstrate that through the character and his journey.
Yeah, no, that's perfect because like I told you before, the show's about business adversity and dyslexia. And I think, though I personally think all those things are interlinked, and what I'm trying to do is encourage or raise the question to someone sat at home going, oh, I hate my job or I don't want to do this, but I'd love to do that. And it's to show them that it can be done. And there's a bit of a stigma with the old... mental health issues, isn't it? And I think people, it's a bit like dyslexia, see it in a, when you mention mental health, they think about someone sat in the corner, you know, whatever, I won't even go into graphic. Do you know what I mean? They've got this image of a mental, someone in an asylum rocking in the corner, like, what even were taught? You know, that's how I think people envisage it. And I also know there's a lot of the highest amount of deaths in young guys is through suicide. So, you know, you get down that mental health route and you can end up getting down that path of wanting to pack it all in, can't you?
Exactly, mate, you can. And you've got to sort of get yourself away from negative circumstances so that you can put yourself in a better opportunity. You know, I think behind every negative, like my dyslexia, when I couldn't read, it was frustrating me. When I couldn't write, I was getting laughed at and bullied in school, you know, picked on as that dumb kid in the class. You know, it's humiliating because you feel like you can't be like everybody else, but then you've got to realise that, you know, fish can't climb trees. Yeah. So you've got to sort of find your own way around it, which you probably have found yourself as well, that, you know, that you can do it. And for me, writing a book is sort of saying a big fuck you to sort of everyone who's ever looked at me as this dumb sort of kid who couldn't write to now going from unable to write to being, you know, a published author, which again... hopefully will inspire other people who are dyslexic, you know, whether they're even going up through mental health circumstances what are difficult, or just everyday people, you know, whether they're businessmen, whether they're, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, whether they even work at Tesco, you know, it doesn't matter where you are currently now. It's all about where you want to go in it. That's what I believe in. So it's a journey of, you know, becoming who you want to be, not what somebody else is, not copying a successful personality and emulating it. It's finding your truth, that's what I believe in. So this year I've just been finding my own truth, and that has just been really finding, you know, ideas to move forward with this You Can Become brand, you could call it, this You Can Become, where it's all about, you know, you can become anything in life, sort of thing. So that's what I want to play on. Even though I'm young and you may look seem as quite naive, that you know, the world's not all sunshines and rainbows, but going through quite a traumatic experience, it sort of opened my eyes to that it can happen to anyone, you know, no matter what age you are. And if you haven't got balance in your life, you've not got your feet grounded, you know, you got a dream, you got to have a vision, but if you've not got grounded action, then you're not going to be where you need to be in the future.
No, I think that's absolutely, try to pick up a few points there. That's brilliant, mate. Honestly, I love that. I love your attitude. And what frustrates me about your story, and I grew up in, I went to school in the 70s and 80s, so I left school in 1982, so quite a long time ago. And when I tell people I didn't discover as dyslexic until I was 44, they go, oh, wow, how did that happen? I say, well, back then it wasn't really understood. But what frustrates me even more, and this is what I'm trying to change, raise the perception, it's great to have people like you on, that you're a young guy, 19-year-old, and so you've only just come out of the education system that's supposed to be helping people like you, and it just absolutely infuriates me that you clearly had, you know, it's not like you was mildly dyslexic like, you know, some people, and you could get by. You obviously had, you know, you probably quite severely dyslexic if you couldn't read and write at school. It's bonkers.
I know, it's bonkers. I'm presently 20 now, so last year I was 19 when it all happened, my major sort of meltdown. But they just thought, you know, it took me about a couple of years to write, to learn to proper write and put sentences together and stuff. And I still, like, I'm not 100% now, you know. I have to get people to spell check my work for me and stuff, and I have to sort of sit down and go, okay, how do I spell this, and how do I, you know, just, you know, a lot of far better than, you know, you wouldn't imagine that I'm dyslexic now, but it's took me a long time to get where I am.
Yeah.
You know, skills, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But as a kid, though, you know, getting picked on and humiliated in front of teachers, and teachers are just thinking you're slow and you're just a sensitive kid, you know, the whole classroom environment was like a negative situation for me, because if I got something wrong, or I was afraid to put my hand up, or I'd said something and I'd feel stupid, because I think a lot of dyslexia as well, with myself, not sure about you, but personally, I think it's like the way we process things is a little bit different than everybody else. And I'm a lot slower at processing things, and it affects me when it comes to trying to get normal jobs. Like recently, I got a job in a bar, and I was there for about 2 weeks, and it was like, look, we need you to be like faster, we need you to be more confident, we need you to be, you know, like a class A barman. And they weren't going to expect me to, I said to them, you can't expect me to be that in the time that I've been here, you know, straight away. I've only been here two weeks, you know what I mean? It's maybe in a couple of months I might build up to that. And then we had to have a mutual agreement where I just had to leave the job, you know what I mean? Because I couldn't fit to their circumstances as fast as they wanted me to, just down to my ability of being, I think, dyslexia, I think, you know, just because process things fast enough, remembering all the different spirits, remembering all the different beers, you know, all the different techniques. You know, there's a lot to take in, I think. So my area of, like, my specialities, I think, is in the creative world. I think that's because maybe we see the world a little bit different than everybody else, possibly. You know, I think that's where we sort of kind of sell as dyslexics, that we have, like, a creative eye, you could call it. I'm not sure if you agree with that, but what we know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, most definitely, mate. If you watch some of this, I've done quite a few videos on it, and I did a 4NTV last on my YouTube channel, Dougie Stone, and it's had nearly 11,000 hits. But you're right, not like you, I found out I was 44, and I quit my job and went to university, and I did a master's degree, and that was my fuck off to the world, because the way I'd been treated, to say I'm not thick. And I also write for a dyslexia magazine now as well, online magazine, dyslexia.com. So I understand what you're at, and it's great to have that, you know, screw you, everyone. And going to your point about the creative side, yes, very much so. The dyslexic man is generally very creative. If you look, a lot of actors, a lot of actresses, Jennifer Aniston, people like that, Robbie Williams, a singer, there's lots of creative dyslexics. I don't know how half of them remember the lines, but they do. They must find a coping way, a way of getting around it. But the dyslexic man is brilliant for solving problems, very creative. Once a dyslexic gets confidence, then they're great at public speaking, you know, great leading teams. I used to run massive teams of people, and it just was just natural. I wasn't taught how to do it. I just did it. Do you know what I mean? It's so, yeah, you're right. So it's a very, very creative system. It's got its disadvantages, but the advantages, I think, outweigh the disadvantages, and I would not be dyslexic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course, it's because it's all we know, and it's our part of our identity, if you want to call it that, because we just think we're normal, and everybody else sees us on the outside and go, why is he doing that backwards? Why is he doing this? But I know what you mean about the confidence thing, because with me, I don't know if it's just part of my age or being young that I need to build up my confidence levels, but I do think if I was a lot more confident, I would be able to create better opportunities for myself.
Yeah.
That's mainly because I feel like sometimes I'm not, you know, equipped or good enough, but I'm not sure if that's just my own self sabotaging myself, if you know what I mean, my own self-doubt.
Well, you've got a couple.
I think I forgot through.
Sorry to interrupt. You've got a couple of things there, Jack. I mean, you've a dyslexic mind is one of the things is lacking is confidence. So there's always that little voice in your head saying, "They're better than me. I'm not good enough for that." And da da da, and talks you down all the time. But compound that with years of crap at school and people saying you're thick and your mates taking it, well, not your mates, sorry, kids taking a piss out of you at school in the class and you're fearful of that. So you've got all that in your head that you've got to sort of unravel and dump off somewhere because it's nonsense, yeah? And the education system, it's society that says, because you can't do this, you're not right, you're different, regardless of what anyone says. That's what they're saying. You're different, you've got a disability, whatever, which I hate the term. So you've got all that in your head. But all I'd say to you is that I got to a very low point, similar to yourself, back in 2010, and that's why I stopped working in the corporate world. And I never wanted to work again. I never wanted to go out of the house. I was in a mess. But I got the confidence. I gained confidence from going to university, realising that I could do stuff. And my wife pushed me down that route, helped me push me down that route. And she also was my support, my mentor, and my, my confidence. And then as I've started to meet other people in the last couple of years, then they're giving me positive feedback because of things I'm doing, and that further boosts it. So I reckon in the next, give yourself another 6 to 12 months. Give yourself 6 to 12 months. Get around some positive people. Surround yourself with people that are not just going to blow smoke up your backside, but generally you want to be around, yeah? So find the network of people that you want to be around that are on the same sort of journey as you, got the same sort of ideas as you, and I guarantee within 6 to 12 months you'll feel like a totally different person, and you'll just keep steady. It'll just be a steady climb to the point when one day you'll turn around and go, where's Jack? Well, if you think about the stuff you've done, you've written a book and you're doing what else? What other things are you doing at the minute?
Just really focusing on, like, trying to get back into the creative world, because I keep drip feeding in and out of it, and like doing a lot of free work. But I was speaking to a mate the other day who works in a marketing company, and he said there's some like job vacancies coming out soon. So hopefully I'll get an interview there and just see if I can pick up some paid work, you know.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've done the rounds a little bit now doing the free work. You know what I mean? I've done it for about a year, you know, just doing free work, jumping from free job to free job. So hopefully I've gained enough experience to be able to give, you know, so someone can see in me that I'm a bit of a fighter, if you know what I mean. I'll keep going to.
Yeah, because that's why I always advise people when they're starting a business or they want to start something, you're in a position where you're doing your work at the minute, but if they've got something that keeps them ticking over where they can focus on the stuff that they like doing, say, at other times, then, you know, that's what I always advise. But, yeah, there does come a point where you're doing free things for free because you need the experience, you need the exposure, you need those things, don't you? You need you can't just go in and say, oh, I can do this if you've never done it, even though you probably can do it. Yeah. So you need the credibility and you need the experience as well to go to someone and say, look, this is what I've done, this is where I've been, and it takes time. So you either have to do that alongside something that's giving you an income, or you get to a point where you have to start getting paid for it, don't you? You know, even if it's like a lot of people in the music industry or whatever, or they start off at a low level, don't they? Doing a bit of stuff in the offices, and then they're doing a bit of technician stuff, and then before they know it, they're doing what they wanted to do in the first place. So
like a bit of a zigzag spiral, isn't it? A bit of a maze you go through to get to where you need to go, like. But I suppose that's life, isn't it? You know, you have your ups, downs, roundabouts. You know, it's a big maze, but you've got to find your way back into the middle.
Yeah. I think it's having a clear, for me, what did it for me, like, especially even, I'm learning all the time, was last December I went on a course, and it gave me a real clear, it gave me clarity about where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And since then, everything I do, it's a bit like you doing free work. There's some free work you probably shouldn't be doing. So you look at things when I've got clarity and go, yeah, that's worth doing because that's going to take me down that path. That's not worth doing because it's not going to, I've already got that. Yeah. So I think a lot of people, they need to have it's not about money. It's not about how much cash you're going to have in what are in the next 12 months. It's where do I want to be? What do I want to be doing? What does it feel like? You know, having that clear image of the future, and then the opportunities will come to you, and you'll realize, you know, it'll take you on that journey. I think so,
of course, attract the right people throughout you on your journey and stuff like that, because one man can't do it all alone.
No, correct. And like I say, you've been on it's like this, you've been on a course, someone that I know, someone that you know, because obviously you've been on and he's put you up, and we're talking today. Yeah, we only connected yesterday, but we're talking, so straight away, that's happened. Yeah. He's believed in you to put you in contact with me, and I've believed in you to bring you and put you on the show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's it's a big tick, isn't it? So, and that's not just, I'm just using it us as an example. So what happens from there? Something else will happen and something else will happen. It just all starts to grow and starts to build from there. So until you get to where you got to get to, but just keep believing in yourself. Considering where you've come from, the crap you've had, you've written a book. You've started. It's all started. It'll all start to slot in place now, and it all starts to come together, I'm sure. So, and you've been on, Brad. And I don't want to keep talking about Brad. He always ends up on my show sometimes. but even he gives the analogy. A lot of people, delivering the pizzas to keep his job going, to keep his dream going. Yeah. We've got a couple of businesses, and we do other things. And when we first started, it was like we're going to do X, because that'll allow us to do Y and do and build it up nice as a nice steady space, nice steady pace, and that's what we've done.
So we can get here, sort of thing.
So we'll go and do a bit of contracting and get paid work. It might not be worth something. It's something we can do, but it's not something we want to do. But we can do it, so we go and do that. Whilst that finances this other thing over here that we really want to do. So as that builds up, then you can start dropping the other thing off. So it's all about, it's not going to happen overnight, is it? But it's about knowing that and having a controlled way to approach it. And you started with a book. So how long did it take to write the book?
Right, it's took me 3 years in total to write the novel, and then 2 years of basic rejection. But my publishing room now, it took me 5 phone calls and then 1 meeting to get me to sign the contract.
So really?
First time, it was like, oh no, I don't think it's for us. There's quite a few mistakes. We'll think about it. I went, yeah, think about it, mate, and I'll call you back next week. And he went, no, it's all right. I went, are you sure, mate? Are you sure? Because I think you might see the opportunity in it if you have a think about it. He went, all right, and see you later. Rang him back again. And then it continued. Just like that.
It's never give in, never keep going, keep trying. Just because you've had a no or whatever doesn't mean you can't go back and say, oh, I'm here again. Yeah. You know, and then people's minds change, or you might have got them on a bad day or whatever. So I like your persistence, mate. I mean, I use a system called, when I'm writing anything, called Grammarly. Don't know if you use it. There's a free
Grammarly.
Grammarly.
Grammarly. Can you find it on the internet if you just Google
Grammarly. I'll send you the link to it later. It's free. There's a free version, there's a paid version. But basically, it's when you're typing it, so if you put there instead of there, like there's obviously differences, it will pick it up as well. So it'll give you your grammar correct. It's really good. Try that as well. That's a really, really good system to use. So that might take a lot of pressure out from you. So and dictating's quite good as well, but obviously you need to know what you've dictated if it's right. Anyway, that's another story. But yeah, that's pretty good. But to be, I think it's pretty, like I say, I want people on the show for the messages and the journey that they've been on, and to show there'll be someone else out there that finds out the kid's dyslexic and go, oh, the world's ended. But then you go, actually, well, this guy's had a crap time, but he's written a book. So, and I've interviewed quite a few people, sort of similar sort of journeys. I've talked to her, she's called the Dyslexic Renegade. She's in New York City, Manhattan. She's 12 now, and she's just writing her second book. Yeah, and if you want to check that episode out, it's episode 30 on Dougie Stone Podcast, or go on Audio Boom, look for Dougie Stone, the Dyslexic Renegade. It's an absolute cracker. Go and check it out, please. I urge you to if you've not heard it before. But anyway, and she's severely dyslexic. So, do you know what I mean? You can do it. And it's just this, and you need to get out there as well. We need people like yourselves, people like me. The more people that talk about it, the more people that put things out there and say, I'm dyslexic, because these are the problems I've had, this is what I've gone through, and this is how it is, then it might make it easier for people coming on. I don't want people to go through what I've gone through, and obviously people to go through what you've gone through. So we just need to talk about it more and need to get it out there. That's what the show's all about. It's about a discussion. So what was your book called again? Because what's it called, the book?
On the job. That's right.
So, because I think I cut you off a bit at the start of that. So just tell us a little bit, because that comes out in August, yeah?
Yeah, it comes out in August, mate. Yeah, that's correct.
It's good that you've got a publisher and you've not self-published, because you could self-publish as well, couldn't you?
Yeah, I was looking at the options, really. I thought, I know it's going to cost me, it's cost to pay to get an editor, and then to pay to like get the IP addresses and stuff like that for the book, and all the different marketing you've got to sort of prepare yourself for and all that kind of stuff. So I weighed up the options and I thought, if I could get with a professional who knows what he's doing rather than trying to one-man band it myself, I might have a little, not obviously not massively more successful, but I'll have someone who I can, you know, who could mentor me a little bit and give me that advice that I need to put me on the right track with what I'm doing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's all, really.
No, and that does make sense. It's like a lot of things. If so, for example, if dyslexics aren't very good at one thing, and that's a classic one, and you've got a business, then you give it to someone who can do it and is good at it, don't you? You outsource it. So you get someone. When I write my articles, I give them to my dad to proofread, and then I put them online. Or when I did my dissertation, I give them to a journalist who I know, which is a teacher, and she. So you just get rid of it, don't you? If you're not very good at your accounts, you get someone to do your accounts, and you know, and that's what you do to release you, or an entrepreneur or a business owner, for what you're good at, and you just focus on the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's in the past where I may have gone wrong. That's what may have built up the pressures I was facing, juggling all these different things. And I thought, if I had my own team, I'd be able to just go, right, you do this, you do that. You know, and then you can focus on what you're persistently okay at, or whatever, you know what I mean, that consistency, what you can, where you're going, where you can go, right, I'm not the best at it yet, but I know that I'm good at a level at doing it, because otherwise, you know, I wouldn't believe him. You know what I mean, that self-belief, well, again, it's all about
you're 24 years ahead from when I started. Think about that. Well, I was 44 when I started my own business. Well, I was 44 when I started my own business. So you're 24 years ahead of where I was. So imagine what you could do in 24 years. Do you know what I mean?
that might just blow my mind a little bit. I'm only thinking it. Think about the hearing now.
I'm 51, mate. I'm 51. I'm 31 years older than you. Do you know what I mean? So, and it's just experience, and as you go along, you'll learn things. And like I say, you just surround yourself with people that are on a similar journey to you. And if you surround, they always say, you're 5 of the 10 people you're around is, you know, what you become, and like your wealth or whatever, you as an individual. And it's about picking those people to be around and be involved with that will help you grow and develop and become and get you on your journey. So that's what I'd say to anyone. So I've met a lot of people in the last couple of years who've become really good friends, and we're all sort of, our businesses are all developing at some sort of rates, different rates, you know, but we're all tend to be going up and we're all bounce off each other. You know what I mean? If you've got any issues or you want advice or you've got people to turn to and look to. So when are you going to write your second book then?
I'm in the process of doing it now.
It's not going to take you 3 years. It's not going to take you 3 years though, is it, this one?
No, this one I'm aiming, I think if I stay consistent, maybe a year and a half or something, you know, I've got it. Because I'm aiming for 60,000 words instead of 100,000. Because at first I didn't think, I just go ahead and thought 100,000 words sounds like a good thing, and that's the equivalent to 2 books. You know,
now you could have cut it in half and had 2 books out, couldn't you?
In terms of printing costs, I'm speaking to the publisher. He said you might as well just put in the book one halfway through it, and a little page saying book two. But I can't say to people I've written 2 books.
Hey, why not? Yeah, thanks for being on the show. We had a couple of technical problems with the old interweb, and I lost the last bit, which was basically us just wrapping up and Jack saying thanks, you know, we're saying our goodbyes. So thanks for being on the show, Jack. Good luck with the book. Love what you're about. You know where I am. Keep in contact. And as always, you've been listening to... Oh, yeah. Yeah, join me every Tuesday evening in Radio Warwickshire, 6:30 for my talk show. And it's moving to Monday, the Monday night country show, but it will be on this Friday, but it'll be recorded because I'm down in Ealing for the business show down in Ealing. So thanks for joining me. See ya.
Radio Warwickshire.